All right. So the topic of fruit juices. This is a complicated topic. It takes into account multiple different scenarios. And I'm not going to impose my opinion upon anybody here, but people make shahako on drinks, even though we're probably wrong. I mean, it's outlined in Tosfos. But there are a number of sugyas that are pulled into this. Our sugya that I'm jumping there, I'm going out of order in terms of the Seder HaGemara, only because we've just done wine and olive oil. So now what about the other beverages? The main sugya, main sugya in our parish, there are really two, is Lamed Chesem and Aleph, which talks about Meperos, and Maribar Vashi's statement, which is only a Derech Agav. You may not realize why it's there. It's sort of just Derech Agav, another statement he made that had to do with the main discussion there, which was Pasav Abakistin. So instead, we get this little side tangent about Dusha, that you make a Shahakal on Dusha, which sounds like it's funny. There is a subsequent sugya in the parish. It's short also. It's May Shlakos, May Shifta, which is most we show them understand. Vegetable broth, clear vegetable broth, meaning you cook the vegetables in water and the water extracts the flavor. And the bracha on that in the Gemara is Barki Adama. So putting this all together is part of the challenge. You'll see that some of the long Rashba that I gave you to look at is, you can see one of the sort of the things that's sitting in the background and preoccupies a lot of the discussion in the second half is how do you make this cohere, with Duksha cohere with Meish Lakos. I mean, the Rashba is the solution. Now, before we dive into our Gemara, let me ask you a question, which you know the answer. I hope you know the answer to, although it sometimes feels like the Gemara doesn't necessarily keep it straight. Why wouldn't you make a Bori Priya Eitz on fruit juices? What reasons could you conceive not to do so? Boaz? Okay, I hate that reason. That is such a bad reason. You have to say, I don't like Shina. If you want to say it's Shani Ligriusa, which is with us, that's one thing. But the Shina business makes me crazy. I believe as a matter of principle that you cannot, in our contemporary society, when you have an industry that produces tons and tons and tons of particular substance, you can't call that Shina actually matters. It's not a Shani Ligriusa. When you have Pringles, no one's telling you that it's not Ha'adam. I don't care that they reduce potato flour. They make tons and tons of it. You shouldn't eat any of it. But they make tons and tons and tons of stuff. You're not going to tell me that's called a Shtani Ligriusa. It's ridiculous. It's a normal way of eating it. Maybe not a healthy way of eating it, but it's a normal way of eating it. It tastes good. That's why people like it.
Is Shtani based off the way you eat it, or Shtani in the physical matter?
No, in the physical matter. But it's only considered, the Shtani only matters if you're doing it in such a manner that you, it makes it's Ligriusa, so it's really a less than ideal form of consumption. You're not going to tell me when you got tractor trailers dragging this stuff across the interstate to all sorts of places and it's stocked everywhere, but that's called the Shtani Ligriusa.
Potato chips are worse way of eating potatoes than like mashed potatoes.
What's that? I'm sorry?
Potato chips are worse way of eating potatoes than mashed potatoes.
I beg to differ with that, but potato chips are much better. We're not talking about potato chips, people don't say that by potato chips. Healthy, don't matter.
Oh, well,
a straight baked potato with the skin, that's pretty healthy. Yes, Ephraim.
I guess
dragon
juice tangent on Shinoi. The Rambam comments by sugar seem to treat Shinoi in that sense.
It filters in here and there.
That's one of the main things.
On sugar, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I understand that. And the Rambam's sheet on sugar is very difficult.
The
problem is you take something like Shlakos. You take something like Shlakos, which the Maskan of the Gemara seems to be pretty clear for the Rambam as well. That Shlakos, just because you cooked it, and it's Shani, if it's, you know, we accept Tosis's proposition that if it's good both raw and cooked, it's Ha'adama both raw and cooked. The fact that there was a sheet in the Gemara that Shlakos were Ishtani, right? Olive oil, like Eimach Hashina Gadol Mizeh, right? It doesn't look at all like the food. It's the dough for wine. But the Gemara took us. The Yushami makes this Ta'ara in the opening passage. I don't know if you saw it. I didn't give it to you on the Mari Makomos. The Yushami just notes the fact that the bracha would be. I don't know if they're talking about Shemer Yayim. The fact that it's reduced to liquid doesn't change. Doesn't, you know, that the Shina doesn't matter.
Yeah, but
It doesn't make a difference because it, presumably, Yishalmi says explicitly, it's Danish Tanim Brisa. In fact, you have to remind me, I discovered when I taught this Masechta 15, 16 years ago, I have a critical edition of the entire Perek, a linear edition. No, not the Hafi Garcina, which is nice, but I actually have a full linear edition to remind me to send it out to the Shir. I also have probably a good chunk of the Perek parsed in its layers, as well as the first very long Halacha Yerushalmi and some other parts Yerushalmi, not the whole Perek. So I just was looking for something last night, or the other night, Sunday night. I was looking to see if I actually, I know I must have done my Perek, but did I have my Arimakomas, which I didn't, so these are new my Arimakomas. But I actually happened to chance upon this, so I should share them. I don't think Shinui Eschalos matter that much at the time, but if you'd like to have, and you can easily print, it's a very nice format, the way I set it up. I don't know if you've ever seen, probably it's been a while since I've done one of them, but the, but anyway, I'll happy to share that with you. But anyway, coming back to our issue. So the Yerushalmi sounds pretty clear there. The fact that it's a Shtana is not a, you know, it doesn't change anything. That doesn't change its status. The Shemen Zayis, I think, is the best argument, right? Bori Priya Gotham, you know, you argue this is like the king of brachas, right? It is. Bori Priya Gotham is the king of liquid brachas. And it's the king of mashkin. It's Melech HaMashkin. Or we could call it the Sav HaMashkin. Known in biblical Hebrew as? Ooh, don't disappoint me. You should know it's the Targum for Sav HaMashkin is Rav Shafei. Okay, for those of you who are giving me that very blank look, as if you're supposed to know what Rav Shakeh is. You know Rav Shakeh is? He was Sanherib's general. He's the one who blasphemes and curses outside of Yerushalayim in the time of Chizkiah. His name is Rav Shakeh. He wasn't the chief butler, but the name Rav Shakeh means chief butler. That's Sar HaMashkim. So we can say what will be the sheer code, don't share with anybody, that Yayin is Rav Shakeh. Okay, because it's the Sar HaMashkin, it's the greatest of the Mashkin. If you make a boy, if you sit down for a beverage tasting and you drink wine first and you have all the juices that you shouldn't drink, but you're going to taste them anyway in front of you, you make a boy Priya Gathan on the wine and it pockets all the other drinks. In the same way that when you have a meal, Hamotzi, if it's part of the meal, not if it's dessert, if it's Hamotzi, pockets all the other foods that are part of the meal. I should scratch what I just said, that those two are different. Rav Chiya says that. The contemporary idea that somehow if you make hamotzi, you pater everything, that is Rav Chiya's shita, but we don't hold that way. We do paskin like him by yayin. The yayin poter kum imashkin, we don't paskin by the first half of the statement that lechem is poter, you know, all bine ochlin. So, anyway, so this ishtani piece is very, very, very tenuous. That's all I can say. So I'll take a stand in the Grisa for the moment. I understand the Rambam. I know the Rambam's position on sugar, which we will talk about. This will be kind of like, I don't want to say it's the capstone, but we have to discuss this as we discuss once we're doing mashkim. It's not, sugar is not exactly a mashke, but it is kind of an extracted form of the sugar cane. You know how sugar is made? They take the inside of sugar cane. We will. It's going to have to be before the end of the city. If you're okay with it, maybe you can take a little neighborhood walk and find ask in one of the bodegas if they know where you can get sugar cane, and we can taste sugar cane. But sugar cane, they take basically, it's a grass, and it becomes very hard. And I don't know if they peel the outside or if they just grind it up as is, whatever it is, they grind it up. And then they kind of press all the liquid out. And then I think it's that liquid which they, I mean, it's not, there's stuff in it, and then they kind of distill it, or they boil off the water, and you're left with the granulated sugar. The Rambam describes it, looks like a little like salt. So, anyway. So I think that Shemen is, to me, Shemen is pretty compelling. And it's not, it doesn't have the chashivas of yayin. It's just a better way of eating the olives. And it's the shtana legamrei. And yet the Gemara assumed the citrus of Dabar Pasha that, the Gemara assumed by default that liquids of the fruits would have been called Priya Eitz, except that yayin got a special bracha. When you recapture, though, it sounds like that. Now, there is a Tosefta, by the way. But I think the Tosefta is by Shechar. Right? Shechar is a little, why is Shechar different? Well, let me step back for another moment here, but there are there's no consistency here unless you adopt the svara of how people normally do things. But how do you get apple juice? There are two ways to get apple juice. Only one way that they actually do it. One is that they squeeze it. What's the other way of getting apple juice? Well, no, that's just boiling off after you squeeze the apples. It's not really apple juice, but how else do you get apple-flavored water? You boil or soak the apples in water. That's what you call mishlachos. To the best of my knowledge, people don't normally do that with most fruits. You do have fruit soup, but I'm not sure how much of that is actually by cooking the fruit, and it's often chilled. But there are two ways of getting it. Let me ask you a question, Jay. Put you on the spot. Not a hard question. Which would you think is considered more the fruit? When you squeeze the apple out and get the juice, or you boil the apple in water and you get the juice?
Squeeze.
Yeah, that's what most of us would have said. Tosas, I think, Lama Tess, in trying to reconcile Duvsha, where Tosas is the king of beverages, Tosas says, every Shtiyas a Shahakol, to reconcile that with Meishlakos, where you make Adama. So Tosa says, well, because by Meishlakos it's the Iker HaPri. I couldn't have said that myself. So this is I'm deeply confused. This is all very confusing. But there are at least two ways to extract the flavor. One is to squeeze it out, and you're getting, again, I don't know what, with the exception of olives, there's water, obviously, in fruits. And when you squeeze it out, that water, I guess, kind of is so mixed in with the particles of the fruit, which is why you squeeze apples or oranges, you get apple juice and orange juice, right? It's obviously a very much water-based thing. That's why you can get concentrate. You can't, to the best of my knowledge, you cannot concentrate olive oil. You can't. There's no water in olive oil. There is, by the way, a water compound that can come out of olives. I don't know how you get it, but Chazal talked about it. It's called a mohel. That is not olive oil, is something else. It's not like other fruit juices. That's why it's oil. It doesn't mix with water. It's a totally different base. So far, though, we have Ishtan and Agriusa. What else might we argue as to why you would say you don't make Bari Priyat Sunday Peira, shouldn't it?
Zeh of Alma, it's not really considered fruit.
All right, so then you have to go down, you go down the route to Zeh of Alma. Now, the Gemara just calls it Zeh of Alma. The question is, what does that mean? The Zeh means literally
like sweat.
You have a term in the Mishnah in Machshirin called Zeh Sabakin. In Machshirin is about, we encountered this a little bit in the Hilchotia Sodayim. Machshirin is about food becoming eligible for Tumah by having one of the seven liquids, the Shiva Mashdim, come upon it. Right? Yad Shachatam, Yayin Dvash, Shemen Cholav Tal, Dam and Nayim. So the Mishnah, Machshirin, I remember what it is, talks about Zeh Sabatim. What's Zeh Sabatim? It's you have stone walls, and it's humid out. You know what you're going to get on the walls? Condensation. Does that have the status of mind? That's what you think of Zeh. It's not like a cup of water. It's like this, you know, some moisture. It's moisture. It's moisture balance, but it's not actually the pre. So that's a second possibility. Now, I guess perhaps the most striking issue with this is, what's the difference between apple juice and wine? I'll call it apple cider and wine or apple juice and grape juice. What's the difference, other than the way they taste? Show me.
One's from an apple, one's from a grape.
Thank you, Einstein. Okay. Nothing. I mean, obviously, they taste different because one's from a grape and one's from an apple. But fundamentally, they are essentially chemically the same thing. And they both, by the way, can ferment. You know what you need in order to get fermentation?
Yeast.
Sugar. I mean, yeast maybe the what process. You need anything with sugar can be fermented. Human beings have managed to figure out how to make alcohol out of virtually anything. Okay? Sugar, you need starches, really, which I guess are sugars. If vodka is made from potatoes, potatoes aren't very sweet, but it's all full of starch.
Or grain.
What?
Or grain,
right? You can make whiskey, anything. We human beings have figured out how to get alcohol out of virtually anything. Okay. So the question is, why should apple juice and grape juice be different? Now, you could invoke one as a standard of the grease and one is not. Okay. to argue that one is Zeya and one is not is a very, very difficult argument. Now, there is one more possibility, at least to my mind, that comes to my mind, which is not very satisfying, except that some of the Rishonim say here, that the Rashba quotes, what is the third possibility to explain why Neperis you don't make our AIDS?
Really,
the assumption is that all fruit juices are not the fruit. You know why it's fruit juices are not the fruit? You know why? Because you walk into the kitchen, your mother says to you, would you like some fruit? And she brings the orange juice, and you say, Mommy, or Ima, this is not fruit. And it's not the pre. So there might be a Gzeiros HaKasev that Tirush and Yitzhar are treated that way, and maybe those are exceptions, but fundamentally speaking, so it could be it's not a fruit at all, it could be it's a Gzeiros HaKasev. I don't know what the Gzeiros HaKasev is. So that's why this is like, and, if you learn the Gemara in Chulin, you will realize that the Gemara in Chulin does not flow very simply. And if the two halves of the Gemara don't fit together so well. So we're going to talk about that when we get there. So this is why this is a very confusing signal. If you want the bottom line, is that any Minhag Yisrael is, although I think I've seen the truth forgotten, and my wife reminded me, asked me if I was aware of it. She taught our coffee course, so she did teach in our coffee course some certain shuvos where they are hard about what bracha you make on the coffee. The pashtus is midina de gemara, coffee is ha'ez, hadama, tea is hadama, chocolate probably is, chocolate was not the way they, wheat wasn't the salad, it was a drink actually, was ha'ez probably. However, we don't do that. We make shahatzal on it. Orange juice made from juice oranges, there might be those who would say you make eggs on it. But I think the main thing is you make a shahatzal when you drink anything. When it comes to soup, here, while I feel I may wear the din, when you're dealing with, let's say, clear vegetable broth, and let's say that was the purpose, they cooked it so you could get the broth, it wasn't the leftover products of the vegetables, then you may call it dama on that. That's the maskum. That's the conclusion of the Shulchan Aruch. And if you had mei teiros, like mei shlokos, if you were to boil fruits in whatever you would have boiled, you know, again, I don't know what fruits anybody would do with it. That would not sound particularly revolting. But if you were to do such a thing, it would depend. This is a suffix the Rosh has a little bit, and the Rashba discusses. It would seem that both of them really would agree that if it were actually very normal to do that, then in fact you would make heights on the mishlachos of peiros. I can't think. Can you think of any peiros that typically people boil to flavor something? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if boiling, but on mishul kiddush, they sometimes call like lemons or other fruit in water to have hint water, and it does taste a little like fruit. They don't boil it, but they.
No. But the point is that's just a paroves.
Yeah.
Again, you mean that's just something that comes in tea bag?
Well, yeah, presumably that is lemon that they put in the
tea. Yeah, so then the only question becomes how much is the ikar, which is, in other words, how my sage ikar, ginger or the lemon? I mean, so the question is you might make argue for hadama. Right.
So there
also may be an issue that's not the way something is typically consumed. In other words, even if you're doing it, that's relatively. Percentage-wise, such a small usage, a marginal usage, that might not be considered dark of a kach.
Ezra? I was thinking more like, if it's another, like, it's not typical kind of tea, or it's a small amount. I know, like, you go to the shop, all these sellers with, like, essentially the little fruit mixes that are intended. I don't think it's actually tea, but they're intended for you.
It's not the whole fruit?
There are a lot of vendors that'll have, like, tiny little cute fruit things where you take a scoop and you're supposed to put it in water and boil it. And it's not really like tea, but...
Okay, so again, I wonder if that is like batla daitam, it's a rope and adam or not. I don't know. Okay, fine.
If you're subscribing to this right proposition and it's just a little bit from the Quran, then Korah is only applying to the fruit, not the fruit and adam.
I mean, you're right on the one hand, but the arguably you're not, because if you're going to say that really this is not called a pre, and it's not that it's not ikar pre, it's not called a pre when you just squeeze out a liquid, then without any xeris hakasa, it's shahakal. In other words, why would you assume that the flavor extracted from your cabbage in your cabbage soup, why would that be called pre-hadama? The Gzeiros HaKasuv tells us that Tirash V'Yitzar, even though a liquid ordinarily should not be considered the pre, and the truma is supposed to be separate from your payros, so then the Gzeiros HaKasuv, the Tirash V'Yitzar are to be treated as the pre. Right? Or Bikur being paradigm, right? But it's just called pre-hadama. And pre is not, and olive oil and wine are not. In fact, there's a very, I haven't had the chance to look at it. There's a passage in the Girsa, and I may be confused, in the Sifrei about Velachach Damer Shiskol Pri Adama, is to exclude even Yayin and Shemen. And Asher Tavim Eitzacha is if you brought olives and you pressed them, or grapes and you squeezed them, then that's okay. Now, I don't really know how can that be? Those are two contradictory things. So there are two possibilities that are going through my mind with regards to how you was not like there's a steer between those two drushes, it would seem. If you say Velakhtamir, which is called Perihadama, to exclude Yain and Shemen, but Asher Tavine Artaha, Minayin Shemhevi, Anovim Udrachan, that it's okay. So Asher Tavi, the Rabbos, such a case. Those two are a contradiction to one another. So I haven't had a chance to look at two possibilities I can think to resolve it. One possibility is that you cannot be mafresh bikurim from the ayin and shemen. But if you mafresh olives and grapes, then if you press them, then you can now bring the oil and the wine to your shrine as part of your havas bikurim. You can't be mafresh them as bikurim, but once you have olives and grapes, you can turn it into a liquid. The alternative is that no, you can only bring the fruits. I don't think that's correct, but you can only bring the fruits to Jewish land to be Bikurim. But once the Kohen receives the Bikurim, you're not allowed normally to be master payers, Bikurim or Truma. The Kohen has to eat it, Kederach Achila, Kederach Tzicha, Kederach Shvia, as we saw in the previous Sugya. Therefore, it might be that once the Kohen receives the olives and the grapes, he is allowed to press them and so on. I think it's the first. I think the Hafrasha has to be the fruits, but the Havah, the bringing can already be after you press it into olive oil and wine. So it's clear in that case that it's not called pre if it's just a liquid. And so I don't see why Mishlacha should be any different.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that you could do something that would broader allowance for things to be included in Baruch Hashem, in fact, certainly speaking, chaos.
No, you mean the Mishnah?
Yeah.
No, I thought that Rabbi Yehuda just is getting into more specific. I'm going to venture the following. Rabbi Yehuda would say that if you made Akulan or Amar, I'm going to make for the Mishnah. We're going to addend it to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Bari Minei Deshai. Addendum. V'Akul Amar Bari Pri Adama Yatsa. Rabbi Yehuda reload that in Ibiyotze. It's not because it's not called Pri Adama, it's because he wants to be even more specific. Right? In other words, chili beans are Pri Adama, but they're not the Shai. But lettuce is not only pre-adama, it's also dasha. So I don't think that he has a more restricted definition of what pre means, but rather he wants to drill down with greater specificity on vegetables, where it's not just pre-adama, but... Right. And I feel pretty confident that saying, for example, if you said bari pre-adama on lettuce, yubiyotze, even though really you're supposed to make the bracha bari dasham for Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so let's start by reading a little bit. Who would like to read? Who hasn't read in the last couple of days? You seem so excited about it.
I've heard this stuff there.
That is fine.
Any other time?
Not a problem. Shimmy?
We're reading
Lamed Chesem. Did I not put the Gemara Brachas first? I guess I gave you the stuff out of order. That's fine. So I want to ask. Let's read the Mishnah from us, Dan. This is just quoted in our Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer is Machayev Keren Chomesh because it violates the Ish Ki Yochal Kodesh Ishkaka. And Rabbi Yeshua says, is Poter, means it somehow doesn't fall into that category. Now, Tosa somewhere, I think in Holon, asks a good question. Why don't you say Tom Kiker? Tom Kiker is a concept in Yeridea. machlokas rishona, whether it's the rice of the rabbanon or machlokas of the gemara. And let's say I take a piece of chazer, good piece of chazer schmaltz. I put it in a cheesecloth bag to keep it in, and I submerge it in a pot of water and boil it. And now I take the cheesecloth bag with the chazer schmaltz and I throw it away. We say that you have tam of the chazer schmaltz in the chicken soup, but you do not have mamashes. The question is tam ki ikar zasser, if you can taste the chazer schmaltz, is tam ki ikar the rice of the rabbanon? That's a big machlokas of Rishonim, but it's definitely aser. So, and Tosos is amongst the Rishonim, Rabbi Natam assumes that tam ki ikar is the rice. Tosos and the Rashba, probably the Ramban and the Ran hold it's the rice. Rashi and the Ram seem to hold it's only the rabbanon. Seemingly. So according to Tosos asked the question, what happened to Tam Kikar? Okay, I'll grant you that this is not Truma. It's not Pri. Nonetheless, it has the Tam of Truma in it, so why is it? Let's say I am a Zar. I'm not a Kohen. And I take your Truma, and I stick it in a cheesecloth bag, and I cook it in my dish, whatever it is, and then I say, okay, Louis, here's your Truma left. I'm a Zar. I'm not allowed to eat the food in the pot. So Tosus asks, how is it that it's not aser and probably the rice because of tam ki ikar fruit juices? It should be no less than that. Whatever. Okay. That said, so this is an aflokas Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer, and then the Mishnah continues.
Rabbi Eliezer, matami Yeshua mash.
Oh, what does that mean?
That any of these date honey or the apple cider or the honeycomb, if you put it on a fruit, that could allow that fruit to become tummy.
Correct. In other words, that these liquids are considered mashkin for the purposes of machshirin. Again, machshirin normally we assume is that in order for food to be mekabel tuma, it must have a liquid come upon it, either intentionally or happily, even if not intentionally, and you like the result, after it was detached from the ground. But obviously, if the liquid getting on it when it was still attached from the ground, growing from it, was machshirin mekabel tuma, it would be almost impossible to have a food that wasn't mushroom kabel tuma. You'd have to get, like, I don't know, some kind of a hydroponic thing where the water is only underground and no rain ever gets on the plant. But that's ridiculous. So it means that once it's detached from the ground, then you can, then it's roi to be mekabel tuma if one of the shiva mashkin comes upon it. Rabbi Eliezer says, Meitirus is considered a mashkin. He doesn't have, I don't know how many mashkin he has. But we say Meiteros is not Mashu, that's only we pass with Rabbi Yeshua, which is why if you are a Kohen and you want Tameh and you want to be making bread at this particular time, and you want to be making Truma bread, because the flour is Truma, but you're a Kohen who's Tameh, you have a problem with this. So what you can do is, if you're willing to not use water, use only Meiteros, not from concentrate, because then once you put water into the Meiteros directly, when it's water, then it becomes water, I think. Maybe it has to be a rove. Take that back. It probably has to be a rove if you put it. How much do they concentrate them? Probably a lot. And the whole purpose is to make it, I assume, cheaper to transport. So they probably boil it down a lot. So probably the water they put back in, I would be surprised, is rove. So, but if you didn't, but if you have not from concentrate fruit juices, and you take your flour of truma that was never moshe yet, you can make bread to your heart's content, and it's not going to be, and you can touch it, you can slobber all over it, as long as you wipe the slobber off afterwards. Well, no. Sorry, I don't know. I remember, you have to do with the din of rokas. I don't remember. I think rokas is not considered a mashke, but I'm not 100% sure. Not for these purposes. It is. Sorry. If you're a zav, or a nida, or a yoledes, or a zava, so then the rope is actually an avatum. Okay, so let's it's disgusting. Let's leave that off. But you can just pour it with your hands as much as you like. Touch, and it's still tahar. And then go to the mikveh, and then enjoy eating it. If you're tummy, you eat it. If you're high, lisa, pide shemayim. But it's not moshe l'kabel tuma if you need it with only meperos. So Rabbi Eliezer says, not true. Rabbi Eliezer says, meperos is not true. Rabbi Yeshua says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, lomanu.
Lomanu chacham yeshua maskin, tamon et tamim.
Yeah, you know, like there's a certain book that was written. It was about truth-telling in the Orthodox community. And telling all sorts of stories where people, where truths are covered up for whatever agenda. And the point is true. But the book is a very long book, and it could have been an article. Or even one of my favorite authors, Jonathan Haidt's book, not Closing of the American Mind, I forget what it's called, his second book. Coddling of the American Mind or something like that. So I disagree with the book, but the book could have been an article, probably started. It should have stayed as an article or a series of blog posts. Sometimes, so that's like a patam. You know, a guy comes in and just starts to list you all, you know, listing spices that I might have. The Chacham, we're not to patam, who's Mona B'Sam. Chacham said Shilamashkar because it's exactly Shilamashkar. The patam isn't just telling, the patam tells you what he has in his inventory today. Tomorrow it might be different. The Chacham, we're not like a patam who was Kamoni patam. They were Vedakta, Shiva Mashtam. Remember the mnemonic again? Yad Shachat Dan. Yayim, Vash, Vash Dvorim, Shemen, Cholav, Tal, Dam, and Mayim. I know that Mayim and Tal are really the same thing. I don't know really why they're distinguished. Yes?
Is there a function
of in Halacha? I mean, for these purposes, yes. Dvash Dvorim is, first, as you know, it's not a Mashtam.
No, but I'm saying, why is it not a
mashka?
Like, normally...
Well, because bee honey, that's all there is. That's all the honey. In other words, there's no... It's not like honey is squeezed out of something.
It's
not squeezed out of honeycomb. It's not squeezed out of honeycomb. You have to just open it up. It's not the same thing. And that is the only product.
Right.
You can't eat the honeycomb. I mean, you can with the...
Yeah, but people do.
You can, but you're eating for the honey, not the wax. Whereas the dates, people eat the dates normally. So anyway, for the Shiva Mashkin purposes, for all purposes, Dvash Dvorim is Dvash Tamarim is, while it's the Torah's Dvash, it's not one of the Mashkin. It's not considered a Mashkin. Okay. So now we can go to the Gemara and Chulin. I'm going to read here. Should we get off really fast? Should take an opportunity. I want to read because I want to not get bogged down this. All right. So starting with, I think I should have cut out the first. Go to the end of the first line. Tznan hasam hikvas adam v'achalav. If you coagulate blood and then you eat it, Tosus notes you don't boil it because if you boil it, it's now only asam derabanan. Dam should, the Rambam doesn't pass it this way, but most Rishonim do. Dam shebishlo is only derabanan. If you cook blood or you salt blood, the issur of consuming it's only derabanan. So he says Tosus hikvas shelo ayudei ha'or. So you take blood, you coagulate it, and you eat it. You take fat, and you liquefy it. I think that's the best way of translating. You're chayef for achilas dam, you're chayef for achilas chelev. Now, just an observation here about the dam. I don't know why this was not said in the Gemara, but how do you know that shtiyas lechla achila? Now, the Gemara could have answered, Kigon Shehikahu. Maybe the pasuk is only if you solidify it, because that's what the Gemara says, wants to say that we looked at in Shluas, right? That maybe Tirosh V'Yitzar is only, maybe it's only Achila if you basically coagulate the, whatever the word would be, for the wine and the oil, right? The Achal Yilei Ayidei Anigram, which in the Gemara Shluas seems to be a salad. Okay, so the Gemara says Bishlama Hikwasatam Bachalo Kevin the Akhe Akshule Akshule. He made it better. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I don't know why that's better. But do you know why people used to drink blood? No, not iron. I don't know how. I'm not sure how much iron there is in blood. I know there's some, but I don't know much. Brian, you know. Sodium. You think you live in a society where salt is so readily available and there's way too much salt in everything that we have with long-term real consequences for almost everybody. But Jake, I'm ruining everything. Jake's going to think, what does this man eat? No, I don't call salt my vice, but I can do some craziness of salt, but the salt and cheese and stuff. we don't appreciate that if you don't have sodium, enough sodium, you'll die. When people drink so much water, like in marathons, there are virtually no recorded deaths of dehydration. Almost every death that's recorded, you know, aside from somebody who had a heart attack just because they upset with waiting to happen, is from hyponatremia. They drink too much, actually. And the water dilutes the electrolytes in their blood. Don't get me started. The point is that you need sodium is actually crucial. We take for granted because we have sodium so available. If you lived in a culture which was by the sea and you had seafood, you would get sodium easily. But other than that, the only way really to get sodium is to get it. Most plant sources don't have enough sodium for us. If you're just eating fruits and vegetables and grains and you don't add salt, then go look at your sodium content. It's essentially going to be zero. But animal blood was, I believe, one way to get sodium. The animal did the job. But how did the animals get the salt? You know, there was something in Southeast Asia, the salt wars, I don't remember when it was, but we think salt, like salt was a very valuable substance. And it's not like today, we have it so easily, but either mine it or you evaporate, you have in the Sefer Yoshua, Mitzvah first nine, the Rishonim says, they would evaporate, they burn the water, they evaporate the water, and they wind up with salt. But animals, how do animals get the salt? The answer is it's not easy for them. There's something called salt licks where animals will go and they'll just be licking. In fact, maybe I shouldn't say this, but apparently discovered a number of years ago in one of the western parks, in Montana, all the bighorn sheep would be hanging around, you know, human habitations, and particularly when people would urinate, like the sheep were looking on, it's like a little freakish to people. They figure out why the sheep will wait for the people to go so they could lick the urine, because urine has high salt sodium content. Yes, that's the way it is. You know, so, you know.
If we need so much sodium, why don't we get rid of all of it?
No, we don't need that much sodium. The problem is that if you don't have access to the sea, and you don't have, you're not mining salt from somewhere, you don't have any sodium in your diet, barring maybe from the animal, and maybe that animal meat, if you don't salt it, remember, meat tastes salty. You know, Empire chickens routinely have one taste testing contest. Do you know why? Because it's so heavily salted. But if you don't salt your meat, there isn't. I don't know that the meat itself will provide that much sodium. But the blood apparently does. You can check. You can do research. Tell me if I'm correct, but I believe that's what I read once upon a time. So, okay. So anyway, I don't know if I'm teaching you Gemara. I can teach you a lot of things. All right. Elahim kas achelu gemal achilak sibei v'halav achilei. Now, the question, Tosis, is what does it mean it's not achela? So on our own, what would you say that means? You know what the answer is because you see the continuation of the Gemara. But what would you have said? How could you have read this Gemara? Halav achelahi. Why is it not achela? Therefore, fine. You would say it's not the normal derech achela. Now, that's how I would have read the Gemara, except for the Amr Eish Lakish, Amr Kra, kol nefesh asher tochol, called a nefesh, yeah, no, I understand, I'm trying to remember what's the pasuk by Chelev. I didn't know there was a pasuk by Chelev. By Dan there is. Kol nefesh asher tochol, kol Dan. So, l'labos is ashose. There must be a pasuk. What's the pasuk by Chelev?
I don't remember.
I think
it was in the Saturday.
Come on.
What?
B'nechusha nefesh. That must be, okay. So, l'rabos is ha-shose. Tanya nani gabe chometz, ki agamna, himcho u'gmao, imchometzu anushkaris, imatzahi enan nir t'lechosu pesach. So, b'shlamo, imatzahi en adam, so, himcho, you stick it in the blender. Now, we're not talking, you know, well, if you take bread and you put it in soup, is it still bread? Would you make a mozi on it still? That's sugya later in our parak. But here you take the bread, himcho. It means like you stick it in the blender. This just looks like some liquid, some very dense, viscous liquid. So in such a case, you're not yotze bishlama im atzvein yotze dechas about Pesach, lechem omrachmoni, omrachmona b'haylav, lechem oni hu. It's a very strange formulation. Probably the word oni shouldn't be there. It's not lechem anymore. And it's not that it's not like, I don't, you know, pureed bread, is it lechem, is it matzah shira, or is it not lechem at all? I would say it's not lechem at all. If you look in the printed Gemara, they like, add, they somehow go some. Fine. Elam Chameitz, who wanders Kareis, Achilak Sivre, it says, Kom Achmetis lo Sochenu. So, the Gemara answers, quotes again, Amar Eish Lakish, Amar Kar Nefesh, Lerabos Es Hashose. Netanya Namigabe Midlasof Tarki Agabe, Hinchoba Or Tamei Bechama Tahor. Vavinan Va, Achilak Sivre. Once again, if you have, this is truly, the Chama is disgusting. Right? I mean, that's the Gemara says, which is probably still strange, but the Gemara says, if you took your nevela and you milk it in a pot, I don't know how you do that. So, it's Achilak Sivis, so Amar Shlokash Amar Kar Nefesh Lerabash Shosa. E Haki, that's the reason, Bechama Nami. If you liquefy it in the sun, it should also be good. The Gemara says, Bechama is Ruchei Mislach. Now, in order to get it, it's true. If you want meat to reach the stage of being kind of liquefied in the sun, it's because you left it out there to rot for a really long time. Mislach, Isruchei Mislach. Which, by the way, means that the reason you're not chayav on it, Nevela, is because it's not Ru'uya Lager. In order for Nevela to be Nevela, it's a sugin in Avodah Zarah, the fifth parak, Nosei Ha'mafgam. It's Pogum Mifrei Atzmo, it has to be Lo Sochuchol Nevela, Lager Asher Besherecha Titnana Lachana, Titnana Bachala. Nevela Ruya Lager Kriya Nevela, Nevela She'ena Lager Ena Kriya Nevela. It's not Ruya for a ger Toshav to eat, then it's not considered, there's no Isser of a Jew consuming it. So the Gemara has three Makoros, and I should have told you to skip over. Why do you need each of these three? That's what. If you only tell us one, and we'll learn the others, we'll know that the rule is what? What will we know? Yeah. Shtir v'chachila. So Tosus asks a question. Why do you need this to tell us shtir v'chachila? We already know that from the Gemara Yama, the one that we mentioned earlier, the one that's the Shua, same Gemara. Right? V'alchalta, v'fnei Hashem l'kecha masar d'gan chartirash chavitzarecha. And the Gemara eventually settles on that in the Maskana, or something like that. So why exactly do you need a pasuk? Three pasuk. We know Shti is the Chvalachim. Is that a handshake? Or that's, no. Any thoughts on that? Tosis is a very interesting answer. But it's going to kind of mess up everything we do. What's the difference between Tirush and Yitzar versus the case of Chedu Chametz and Vela? This is true, but in terms of shtiyah b'chlal achila, it's still hilchas brachos is one thing. Yeah, but why would you think they're different? And there's the mitzvah achila in the same way, for example. What is the minimum shear for achila to get malchus? Ein achila, chusa mikazayis. And what's the shear of achila smatza when you have a mitzvah achila? Kazayis. So it's treated as the same. One you're not allowed to eat, one you have to eat. So shtia is bachal achila, not bachal achila. So the answer to this gives is that there's a difference between extracting the liquid from something and liquefying something. Like there is a difference between pureeing your fat, you know, or your meat, versus you squeeze the juice out. So it's one thing when you take something that in effect is naturally a juice, but is contained, subsumed within, and you extract it, and now you're asking whether it had the status of its ancestor, of its source, versus taking the source and just turning it into a liquid, especially, I mean, it's true, it's not normal, but, no, you know, I mean, I shouldn't say that you do sometimes, fat is, what do they call it when you like liquefy fat?
Render.
Okay, so there is such a thing, but, right? Except for, I mean, yes, that's part of the problem. So the question of what's normal to do may come into play.
So the shuchos are really in this direction is because of their achila, not because of the shuchos in the direction near yoma is because there it's only an extract. Therefore, you still need yoma to do that. But your shnitzar is
You're suggesting, well, what I'm hearing you're saying now is that if you have this Gemara, you don't know the Gemara in Yoma.
Yeah.
But you would know if you have the Gemara in Yoma, you would know our Gemara.
Because
Yoma is correct. Okay. Yes, that's fair. I think that's fair. You say that in the, by Tirush V'Yitzar, the Chiddush is it's not mamish the fruit itself. Still, it's considered achila. Whereas here, it literally is the chela. You're just changing its form. Whereas on the other hand, this is the substance itself. Whereas there, it's just an extract. So in both cases, here. You have to know that this is called achila. There, you have to know that it's called achila sapri, in effect. You have to know that it's, you're consuming the fruit. So, okay. So now the Gemara continues. I'm going to skip over that part. And now the Gemara says it's going over to really on the base. And the Gemara goes to one other one with Shratzim. Let me read that part. The Hadatanya. So it's like two lines before the Kuchaf on the day. So Hadatanya Atzmeim. What is this pasuk about? Atzmeim?
Elu
Hatzmeim Lachem B'chol Asheretz. Right? Which is after the Zelachem Atzmeim B'Asheretz Asheretz Alts. What are Shvatzim? Most of the little reptiles. There might be an animal or two thrown in there, but yes. But it's mostly things like, you know, the gecko. It's my favorite. Makes me think of the Geico gecko.
Okay. Did the parody ask about that? The Geico gecko, did it? Someone parodied the Geico gecko, did it? Sometimes in the onboard, I'll just jump into a cliche without touching the side.
Okay. That's very good. So the halacha is that Tanya Hatmeim Lesor Siron the Rotzvan the Kibashan. Forget Kibashan, but Siron is like if you were to squeeze the lizard out and you get some liquid, or because Dam Hasheretz is not considered Dam for the Isudam purposes. It's Sheretz. It's like Dam of a Sheretz is like its Basa. Dam of an animal is not. There's no, if you eat Dam. Or for example, let's say you drink dam that you cooked of a nevela. What is the deraisa that you violate? And the answer is none. Because you cooked it, it's not dam, and it's not nevela at all. Dam nevela doesn't have the status of nevela. It's dam, so it's also to eat. But if you cook it in the deraisa, it's mutter to eat. And we don't say that, now it's like the nevela. It's not. In other words, the isser of consuming dam that you cooked of a nevela and of a chera that you shafted is the same as the rabbana. Whereas by a sheretz, the dam of a sheretz is like its basar. And it's not, that doesn't have the status of dam. The only animals that have the status of real dam midaraisa are behema, chaya, and oaf, and humans are excluded from that as well. Midrabbanan, there may be an issur of consuming human blood under normal circumstances, but that's only an issur midrabbanan. So. Okay. So now the Gemara says, why do we need a pasuk by... So we have a passage that tells you that the tzir and the rotev, the sheretz is that has the same din now as the sheretz itself. Okay, so the Gemara explains why you need that one as well. So now, if you go to Kuf Chaf on the base, on the line right below where it says Kuf Chaf on the base, the Hadatanya Hatevel.
Am I reading again?
No, I'm reading. So this the premise of the Gemara is odd. We have switched now a transition from liquefying things to the liquids that come out now. Already Shratzim had that also. Right? So how do you know that the mashkim hayotzi mehem? How do you know that kemosa? Now, let's talk about each of these for just for a second, what they cover. Remember that Truma de Oraisa, for most Rishonim, and this comes up in Rashi and Tosfos on this page, applies to what produce? Shema. Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar. That's it. Okay. Now, Chadash, let's look at this list of things. If you take tevel. What could be tevel? Midaraisa. Only dagat tirashu yitza. Chodash. What is chodash? I hope it's not a chedesh, but somebody say what chodash is. You know, the Chasam Sofer said chodash asa min haTorah. Yes, yes.
From Chavishim, you mean Dagan before the Omer Yisrael?
Any of the glutinous grains that are planted after that take root after the Karban Omer of this year may not be consumed when they grow until you bring the Karban Omer next year. It's usually not such a big deal in Eretz Yisrael, even in Europe, because the planting season, let's say for wheat, is almost, they only have one crop winter wheat that goes in the fall, in the ground in the fall. It's harvested in the spring around Pesach time, so you might have to wait a little bit for that. Barley's harvested a little earlier. The United States has a bigger chadash issue if you hold that applies to the chutz laretz, because we also have a spring wheat crop, which is planted, most of it's planted after Pesach, harvested in the summer, and therefore it can be on the market a long time before you reach the next Karban Omer. So anyway, chadash, the only things in the Torah's produce list that chadash applies to is dagon. Okay, continue. Ami. There you go, Shimi, you got me. Hekdesh. What does hekdesh apply to? Now, we should also quote the Pesukim. How do you know you're not allowed to eat chadash? We read it on the first 2 days in Chutz Laretz, so on one day in Eretz Yisrael, the Kriyas HaTorah, the first day of days. So that you're not allowed to eat it. Now, what about hekdesh? What can hekdesh apply to in terms of foods? Shimon?
Anything.
Where does it say you're not allowed to eat hekdesh? So that's a good question. Wherever it says, I'm going to put that question aside. Wherever it says you're not allowed to benefit from hekdesh, hekdesh is not an isur achila. There may be actually a connection to truma. There may be a zera shavat to truma. Hekdesh is not an isur achila. Hekdesh is an isur hana'ah, of which eating is one manifestation. But I can make the share hekdesh, and then you're allowed to use it for roller derby. I can make the house hekdesh, and you're not allowed to use the house. I can do all sorts of things, and nothing to do with achila. It's not an isur achila. Achila is just one manifestation of being from it, which makes this list so odd. Shake. Is apple juice the fruit? The answer is no. But if I take apple and I squeeze it out and I drink the juice, am I benefiting from the apple? Yes. So what is hekdesh? How does hekdesh fit here? Of course the mashkim ayotzimim are kibosan. Because it's not an isur achila. And the whole discussion in the Gemara that preceded this was shtiyah versus achila. We continue. The Gemara says, vashriyas. Okay, shriyas is fine. How do you know that, I mean, what's the relevant by shvias? To know that you're allowed to eat it that way, because there is no isser, but rather it's a chiyav of the achla. Fine, so it's eating that way. Fran, you want to?
Isn't there a question about the makdash, the tree, what the name of the paris is? Not all.
You're talking about the sugya in the darim. But it's not really relevant here. In other words, that's a question of what his das is when he's makdash. What his das is when he's makdash. That's not because you're asking the question of gidulei hekdesh. But this is not gidulei hekdesh.
Not everything that comes from hekdesh is also.
Well, yes, but when I makdash an apple, the juice is inside the apple. When you're makdish land and the fruits haven't grown, the fruits don't exist yet. So it's really hard to understand why hekdesh even belongs in this list. Okay, right now I'm just throwing out some questions, not all of which we're going to answer. Then, the hakilayot. How do you know you're not allowed to, firstly, what kind of kalayim are you not allowed to? Did we discuss early on in the semester what the kinds of kalayim are? Aside from chutneys and begadim, you're not allowed to crossbreed animals. We're going to ignore that. That flies everywhere. Fine. You're also not allowed to crossbreed them. You're also not allowed to plow with them together, which is probably related. When it comes to produce, there are two kinds of kalayim, kalei zrayim and kalei akerim. Kalei zrayim is when you just plant two different species together, you're not allowed to plant. Kalei akerim, the way we paskin, we're very makil, is that you have to plant two seeds that would be kalayim with one another, let's say wheat and barley, with a grape seed. Chita, sarah, chartan, and apoles yat, all in one location. Fine. How do you know you're not allowed to eat kalei zrayim? Brian? Very good. Because you are allowed to eat kalei zrayim. You're not allowed to plant them. You're not allowed to leave them growing. But once they've been grown, you're allowed to eat kalei zrayim. How do you know you're not allowed to eat kalei akerim? Don't say trick question. It's not a trick question. It's a hard question, but it's not a trick question. Brian? You... Pen tikdash. I think so, no? Is it?
Pen
tikdash. I'm pretty sure.
Pentrasha is tukadesh.
Correct. Pentrasha is tukadesh. Pen tikdash. It's not pen tikdash. Tikdash is an intransitive verb. Right? In other words, kadash, hu uvgadad, means to become holy. It has, you might call the passive voice in it. But yes, it's pen tikdash hamalaya hazer asher tizra. So the darshan, tikdash, is tukaresh. That has to be burned in fire. Feel like it's also hana. So is it a nisra achila or a nisra hana? It doesn't say achila. It might be anyway. There is this symbiotic relationship between arla and kalei akerim. They always get mentioned together. They also have some peculiar din and they share in common, like the shir bittel, which is the rabbanon, but in basayim. So, orla has lashon achila by it, right? Shalosh shanim yelachem arinim lo yirachel. So somehow we tend to treat kalei akerim as nisra achila, even though it's closest point that doesn't say they can't have achila. And again, why does that matter so much? Because if the focus of the sugya is how do you know that the shtiyah of these things, shtiyah is like achila. In other words, this highlights that there's a disjoint between the two pages in the Gemara. The first one says, how do you know when you consume something by liquefying and drinking it, that qualifies, whether it's because it's called derech achila or because that shtiyah is achila, versus how do you know that the mashkim shayotzin have the same bent? The appeal of derech achila is, am I missing something? Am I leaving you confused, Jake?
Yeah.
I'm very confused. If I'm not, as long as you're not more confused than I am, that's fine. It's something that doesn't gel in this Gemara. It's like we jump from one domain to another. Fine?
What do you mean by that? Sharon is somewhat transitioning. The structure reflects it. We have the shichas of
I think that's a very good observation, right? That there is kind of there's two pieces that where Sheretz is a little bit of the bridge. In other words, Sheretz on the one hand is like the first. Well, I mean, Chadash is Chadash and Kalayim are Isurim, but Sheretz is. Right. Chadash is unusual because it becomes mutter. All right, so it's not exactly the same as the kilayim is. But you deal with these, I'll call it isurim chamurim, things that are fundamentally, I call them treif. And then, but you talk about liquefying them. And then you have a sheretz, which in some ways belongs to the first batch as an isur. We call it machalos asuris in a classic sense. And yet it's talking about siur and verot fun. It's no longer you're not taking the Geico gecko and sticking him into your food processor and blending him up. Okay? That's not a nice thing to do. We like the Geico gecko. That's not an endorsement of the insurance company, but we like the gecko. So it's the liquid, it's the tear that comes out. And then we move into what you call fear of the fruits. Very, very odd. Okay, so the Gemara, anyway, the Gemara says, how do you know? No, those things that we've seen until now are things that you didn't do anything to make asar. Dam is dam, chelev is chelev, chametz is chametz. However, here, which of these are asar because of something you did? Well, the truth is, Rashi says just hekdesh, Tosis thinks kelayim as well. Chadash is asar on its own, Tevel is asar on its own. Hekdesh shvius is asar on its own, but hekdesh and kelayim are things that we asar. Kelayim by what we do, hekdesh by what we say, what does it mean? So the Gemara says, Tenach hechad v'serba me'ilav, hechad lav v'serba me'ilav. For those two, hekdesh and kelayim, how do you learn it? You can't learn it from the original three things, because those are all isur mabar me'ilayim. Maybe, since they're asar on their own terms by themselves, everything about them is also including the liquid form. But these two things, maybe not. So the Gemara says, Gamrina me bikurim. We learn from bikurim. Okay, very nice. By bikurim, what's the din? The mashka mayotze mehem is kayotze bahem. It's a good part. They have the same status as the fruit. Okay, very nice. But for bikurim gufiyami now, how do you know that? If the Torah has, how do you know what you bring for bikurim? What do you bring for Bikurim firstly? Shiva Saminim. Tosos claims, I don't know if the Gemara says, maybe the Gemara, I don't think the Gemara says, that you can't bring Kusim, Shivola Shual, and Shifon for Bikurim. Which I don't really understand why, because actually botanically they're just species of wheat and barley. But maybe because they're separate from the default, we can't bring them. How do you know you bring Shiva Saminim for Bikurim? There is Shava of Eretz Eretz. From Eretz Chito Sarav, Geffen is centered around Eretz Yeshem and Advash. So when you look at what you bring for Bikurim, what liquids can you bring for Bikurim? Advash. It's the only one that's mentioned there. Oil is not mentioned, it's Yeshem, and it's oil olives, not olive oil. A Geffen is the vine, only Advash. And you can and probably can't even bring Advash. So how do you know by Bikurim? So what mashkim are you allowed to bring Bikurim? Can you bring beer, made from chit and tzara? Can you bring wine, made from gefen? Can you bring fig juice, made from ta'ina? Can you bring pomegranate juice, made from rimon? Can you bring olive oil, made from oil olives? Can you bring drash, made from dates? And the answer is, only wine and olive oil. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. So the next question is, how do you know Bikurim for Bikurim? The answer is the Tani Rabbi Yosei pre atamevi vi atamevi mashke hevi anavim udrachon minayim tamaloma tovi. So we have Xeris HaKosav right now. Okay, so we're going to have to figure out. We'll finish. I'm going to stop here, even though I'm in the middle, because it's going to get late and I don't want to keep you from class. But we're going to have to now figure out how do you know by Bikurim, and then go to Truma, and then try to make sense of this Gemara before we go back. Because remember, the Gemara here is going to link this whole issue to whom? To the machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. That's the Mishnah and Trumas that's cited here in Holin, cited in our Sugya in Brachos, and is very much going to be applied to. Okay, to be continued.